There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you here. And coming up in just a little bit, we'll have some fun. 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig heading our way. But before that, the very sad international story we talked about this morning. And I continue on today as it is now, I guess it's... how many hours since? It's been 10 hours since, I think, or eight hours since. With 49 people dead and wounded there in Christchurch, New Zealand. And mosques around the U.S. are now increasing security measures during Friday prayers. There's actually listened to a couple of folks saying there's increased security, not just at the mosque, but around the United States right now, too. And I probably just policy, just, you know, they would normally do this when there's a terror attack somewhere in the world. But do they know something more than that? Steve Kastenbaum from Westwood One News with more.
The mosque attacks may have happened on the other side of the world, but some Muslims here in America are drawing a connection to the political discourse in the U.S. over the past few years. Nihad Awad is chief executive officer of the Council on American Islamic Relations. He drew a direct line from the attacks in New Zealand to the words and actions of the president.
Attacks on innocent Muslims, innocent immigrants, and mosques have skyrocketed. We hold you responsible.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, quote, "My warmest sympathy and best wishes go out to the people of New Zealand after the horrible massacre in the mosques." He went on to say the U.S. stands by New Zealand and will do anything it can. I'm Steve Kastenbaum.
All right. So, I mean, a couple things in that story that stood out to me. Number one, I would agree. I think any decent, fair-hearted person, their heart breaks for what happened there. And I've heard some of the people describing in the media that they watched the video, but they're telling people not to. Dalton and I both chose not to watch the video. I don't watch that. I won't give the name of the dirtbag killer and his associates because they're straight-up murderers. And the idea of the live streaming is so, like why? I mean, I can come up with answers, but, you know, if you have a good heart, you got to say why. I mean, why kill people you've never met? Unbelievable. But at the same time, you know, that they go and get the head of the Council for American Islamic Relations to be speaking out on that. You know, I don't know that that's a, if you're trying to bridge divides here, I don't think that, you know, that's the way to do it. I would hope that, you know, it shouldn't be any surprise that the American people are disgusted by what happened here as these innocent people that were in praying in a church or in a mosque were shot dead. I mean, children, women, I mean, it's disgusting. But then to come out and say that immediately, I mean, honest to goodness, I don't care if it's half a world away, the day hasn't ended that these people were killed in, and already here it is trying to make it some political discussion. Can it not be a bad thing? You've got a person, a self-declared white supremacist, something that wrote this manifesto, and now I'm seeing that there's some, what, accessories to it. There's some other people they think were involved in it as well. Let's pursue that. Let's pursue it to the nth degree. I mean, I'm sure the New Zealand officials will do exactly that, but immediately it comes back here stateside, and it becomes a discussion about President Trump. I'm not going to tell you I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm not naive, but I'm saddened by it, and I'm saddened most likely because you take away from the sadness people should be feeling about the fact that these people were murdered. murdered. And I think if you took an Instapoll survey of Americans, no matter where they are on the political spectrum, with some exceptions of very fringe elements, people's hearts would break. These aren't, these aren't Americans, but their hearts break for what happened there. And so to have the Council for American Islamic Relations come out and say what they did, are they really working on that, or is it working against that? I think it's a question to ask as we try to get our minds wrapped around what would, even with the idea that somebody would, and it has happened throughout the history of mankind, it is not brand new. Very few things on planet Earth are brand new, but the idea that somebody would go and just slaughter people, just slaughter them, never met them, didn't know them, have no personal beef with anybody, and slaughter them is beyond disgusting. All right, we'll get more on that. And news update coming up at about 31 past the hour. Plus, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams will join us. And we'll get an update on our forecast. I know this, a little bit of rain in the mix for tomorrow. Other than that, it looks pretty darn good. And next week, of course, once we all go back to work, it looks like it's Chamber of Commerce weather. Oh, can I say Chamber of Commerce? Or are they going to get... I know people are angry with them because of the, you know, some support for gas taxes out there. And so I just mean pretty weather. Pretty weather. On that. All right. 112 FM Talk 106.5. And by the way, just a heads up for those of you that are interested in what has been bouncing around social media on proposed changes for regulations for flounder and speckled trout, inshore fish here along the Gulf Coast, and some discussion of a reef fish stamp. Those discussions will happen tomorrow in depth with the director of Alabama, with the Alabama Marine Resources Director, Scott Bannon. He joins Mike Ward and myself tomorrow morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. If you can catch it, great. If not, grab the podcast. All right, coming right back. 6.5 stories on the way.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Friday style. Glad to have you here. Get ready for some 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. First, though, heads up, another great event tonight, Cottage Hill Package. And yeah, this is about perfect being St. Patrick's Day Eve. They got their Jameson's Irish Whiskey free tasting going on. This is going on from 6 to 8 tonight with the Manus family. They got Erica from Jameson's in the lounge, which is in the back there of Cottage Hill Package, with the beautiful wood bar, the leather furniture, the great vibe back there. And bringing out tonight Jameson's Classic, Jameson's Irish Whiskey, and their Black Barrel Irish Whiskey, and their Jameson Caskmates Stout Whiskey, plus the Jameson Caskmates Irish Pale Ale Whiskey. All those are free for sampling tonight. And you find one that you love, well, then you take it home with you and make it your friend for the weekend and St. Patrick's Day, and maybe a little further than that. But that is going on tonight from 6 to 8. Free event, Cottage Hill Package on the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to go like them over on Facebook. All right, it is that time of the week when all those stories that I missed, or at least six and a half of them, make their way onto the airwaves with Dalton Orwig and 6.5 Stories. So we didn't get to do it last week because I was in Montgomery, so you've been save up.
Yeah, I've been saving up, and we've been doing 6.5 stories for so long now that I already know next week's 6.5 stories.
Oh, with the overachieving.
With St. Patrick. No, I don't already have them together. I'm just saying with St. Patrick's Day coming up on Sunday, we always have plenty of stories to choose from following St. Patrick's Day. So if you think this one's good, just wait until next week's 6.5 stories.
So you're basically setting your traps in an area that you're pretty sure that's going to be traveled by 6.5 worthy stories.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a story from Chicago, maybe Savannah, Georgia. They have big celebrations there.
Savannah has a big one.
Yeah, massive. And then, of course, Florida. We'll for sure have a Florida story next week.
Can you? Is that even fair? Is that shooting ducks in ducks off the water when you take Florida man and then give him St. Patrick's Day to celebrate?
Yeah, that's not good. That's like giving a Jack Russell Terrier meth. They're just they're already acting up, and then you give them something else.
No truer words have ever been spoken. All right, so it's time for 6.5 yeah. stories. Explain to folks what's going on here. If okay, they're new to the game.
So we're on the air a bunch throughout the course of a week. Mm-hmm. You know, we do the news wheel in the morning, mm-hmm. and on Midday Mobile we talk about a lot of local mm-hmm. issues. But it's a lot of news, and you do get in some good kicker stories. We call them in the business. There's some interesting stuff that goes on. But impossible for you to get to all of these wild and wacky stories.
It's just like drinking from a fire hose on this stuff.
Exactly. So I gather seven of the best each week, or at least seven of what I think are the most interesting or craziest stories to come from the week. And to give you a little fodder, if you're with family or friends over the weekend, or if you head out to the bar and you want to have some fun stories to tell, that's what I aim to
do. Some crack, as we call it. The Irish term for John, the crack. Yeah, have something to talk about.
And I am the crack dealer today on 6.5 Stories. But we start off with a couple stories of people that got so annoyed by another person, they resorted to crime.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and you might be able to identify with some of these people.
Okay.
So I know a lot of you out there live in a relationship that features an unhealthy amount of snoring. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your significant other that snores too loudly.
Making no comment.
Which, in my case, I'm the snorer of the family.
Okay.
And I catch some flack for that. But I know there's a lot of women out there that snore too. Don't think those stories escape me. There's women whose men say, "Man, you snore too loud."
Yes.
Way too often. But one woman, and of course, you know what state this story comes from. This is from the state of Florida. So we've got Florida woman who shot Florida man because he was snoring too loudly.
Shot him. You know, I will say even a loud snore is going to be quieter than the report from anything but a you know, the running a .22 with a suppressor is about the only thing that's quieter than this, you know.
Well, you know, there are snoring suppressors out there now. I don't think the anti-gun lobby's come after the anti-snoring suppressors.
So she shoots the guy?
Yeah, so this is in Brevard County. Is that Brevard County.
You got it, man.
And you got the authorities there who say Lori Morin, she's 47, from Cocoa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's right next to Cocoa Beach.
Right, it's the low-rent district. Like Cocoa Beach, Cocoa Beach is where the people with the money is, but if you're going to be somebody who's shooting your boyfriend while he's snoring, you probably live in Cocoa.
Probably.
Not on the beach. You're going across the Intercoastal Canal. Go over there to Cocoa.
that's where it happens. Well, 47-year-old Lori Morin shot her boyfriend. This was a domestic violence incident on last Wednesday. Authorities arrived at their home on Emerald Lake Drive, which is there in Cocoa, and she and her boyfriend said that the shooting was an accident, but we know how that happens with some of these domestic...
Right. I've watched cops enough to know that.
Yeah, we both have, and a lot of them from Cocoa, Florida.
Yes.
The man was taken to the hospital, still recovering. He is in stable condition, probably still snores there in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Through an ongoing investigation by deputies, they discovered that this couple, they'd been drinking before the incident.
That involved alcohol.
And drinking does not help with the snoring,
correct,
ladies and gentlemen. That it makes it worse. But they had an argument over the man snoring too loudly, and she grabbed a shotgun.
Holy crap.
Fired it at the boyfriend, struck him, clearly didn't catch him flush because he is recovering from the incident. Now she's charged with attempted murder and aggravated battery and is being held at the Brevard County Jail.
But I still love her.
Yeah, she didn't mean nothing.
Yeah, how we communicate.
I do snore pretty loudly.
Okay, now the snoring people in the house are not going to sleep easy tonight.
No, they should have gone zipa.
You know, that's right. That's right. Or, you know, like we say with your liberties, lock up the guns, especially if you snore.
Seriously. All right. Well, that wasn't the only person who was so annoyed by another that they resorted to violence. This is a funny one here, unless you're the victim in this case. But this comes from East Deer Township up there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And a man behind bars at the Allegheny County Jail. Allegheny.
Come on, man. Allegheny Mountains.
And
yeah.
I spent some of my life in Pennsylvania.
And if you were in the mountains, you were in the Alleghenies. Unless you were in the Poconos. But yeah, you're Alleghenies.
They would have crushed me for that up there. But yeah. One man in East Deer Township, Pennsylvania, chokes another man, his taxi driver, for singing Christmas songs.
What?
Yeah, so this happened around 9 a.m. on Monday. A state trooper was waved down, told there was a possible medical emergency on Route 28. there in East Deer Township. And when the trooper got to the scene, they said that he spotted a Chrysler Town & Country minivan parked on the shoulder.
Of course, it was a TNC, yes.
Two men on the other side of the guide rail. According to the criminal complaint, the victim told the trooper that he was driving the minivan with his passenger, who was a 25-year-old named Clayton Lucas. The victim told the trooper that Lucas reached around his seat while he was driving and began to choke him. The state trooper tried to handcuff the 25-year-old for choking said driver.
Right.
And he said that Lucas wouldn't listen to him. That's the state trooper saying the guy would not listen. And after several verbal commands, he had to sweep the legs.
Nice.
Trooper swept the legs, gained control of the situation. The victim told the trooper that he was singing Christmas songs. The victim said that Lucas tried to choke him to make him stop singing his Christmas songs.
This was just recently, not during Christmas.
Yeah, this is
he's just into Christmas all the time. Okay.
Right. This is March. Mm-hmm. In the complaint, the victim went on to say that Lucas restricted the air and blood from around his neck to the point where he was about to pass out. That does sound like choking.
Yeah.
If you've ever witnessed any of that, trooper noticed the victim's neck was red and his eyes were bloodshot. And Lucas now in jail facing multiple charges.
So they put Lucas in the squad car and then fired up the stereo and.
Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but
the most famous.
The most famous reindeer of all.
This is what set him off.
Rudolph the Red.
As you're taking him down to the Sally Port at jail. Hey, buddy. What do you think about this one? Hey, I got a side note question. Just a side. Just
mm-hmm. Okay.
So deer are one of the many animals that are colorblind. Okay.
Right.
So how would the deer ever have known that Rudolph's nose was red?
Because
they're colorblind. The reason we wear blaze orange, you can get away with wearing blaze orange to go hunting, is that they don't see that as blaze orange.
Are they completely colorblind, or are there just certain colors that they can't see?
I think it's as like a black and white movie, is mm-hmm. what I've always been told, with maybe some variation. That's their best guess. But they don't see color. So how would they ever know that Rudolph's nose was red? I'm sorry. It's something that has perplexed me for a long
these
time.
These questions need to be asked.
And so there we go. Don't sing, unless you know who you're carrying. If you're Uber or Lyft driver or a taxi driver, make sure you know who you're carrying before you go to singing Christmas carols.
Save it at least until, what, August? September at the earliest?
I don't know. It sounds like old boy there who had to have his legs swept by the state trooper. Probably any time of year would have had an issue.
Any time of year. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, as annoyed as Tony Soprano got with Paulie in The Sopranos, Paulie never resorted to killing him. As easy as that would have been for Tony Soprano. But now, one of the best series ever, of course, I'm talking about The Sopranos from HBO.
Finally
getting a movie. I know. Yay! People have been clamoring this for a long time. It's actually going to be a prequel. Not a sequel, of course.
Oh, that would be kind of cool, though. Early mm-hmm. early life for Tony.
Yeah, James Gandolfini, of course, not there to act right. as Tony in the
but they're going to have like a young Tony?
Yeah, they are going to have a young Tony. That's going to be played by James' son, Michael. Michael Gandolfini.
Really?
Taking the role of a young Tony Soprano. Now, this film will not center on Tony Soprano. He will be in part of it. This is actually, they say it's set in Newark in the 1960s during the Newark riots. 5 days of violence in the New Jersey City, sparked by the beating of a black man by white police officers. And they said during that time, it was especially lethal among African-American and Italian-American gangsters mm-hmm. that were involved in the fighting. During those riots, 26 people died and more than 700 people were injured during the riots. So that's going to be a main focus in the story, but more specifically focuses on Dickie Moltisanti, who...
we know the Moltisantis, yes.
The Moltisanti's a big deal in the series. Dickie was not really in the series. He was referenced a lot in The Sopranos.
Right.
But
his nephew would have been...
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris Moltisanti.
Who kept making this... I'd be like, Christopher, why do you do that, Christopher?
So,
you're going to get whacked.
That's what this movie's going to focus on. You're going to have Alessandro Nivola, Vera Farmiga, Ray Liotta. That's a name I understand from here. He's going to be in the movie. And Michael
that's
Gandolfini,
cool.
as I mentioned earlier. So now more information's coming out. It was titled The Many Saints of Newark. Now they're just calling it Newark, and supposed to open in theaters September 25th, 2020.
It's good you tell me, because I'd see the movie Newark, I'd see that title, and not know what it is and not go see it, because I don't go see movies, except I will go see a Sopranos movie.
Oh, for sure. But now there is a date to look forward to for four Sopranos fans. You can work backwards from that, figure out when you're going to restart, start rewatching the Sopranos series. That way, you'll be caught up on that, and then you can catch.
You can watch it in reverse.
I don't recommend watching them in reverse.
You do, because then you'd end up back towards the prequel. You'd start off with that fade to black scene there, that David Chase, that fade to black scene there at the end of the Sopranos series, and just work backwards.
Great point. Maybe I'll give that a shot.
All right.
Start with the fade to black.
All right. All right, coming right back, more of 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norway.
By the way, Godfather released 47 years ago today.
How about that? Really?
March 15th, 1972.
Gangster Friday right here on FM Talk 106.5. Be right back. Yeah, you know it. Just can't help
yourself. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday in the midst of 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. Did y'all not hear me in the back? I said 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. That's a lot better. All right, and before we get into that, a quick reminder, we talked about it last hour as well, because I forgot yesterday when it went online. The Nappy nomination process is live right now.
Oh, yeah. VoteNappies.com.
All right, so there's here's how it works with the Nappies. Is there's a nomination process, and then there's a voting for the winner in those categories. So right now, nomination process has opened up. So favorite FM Talk 106.5 shows, favorite radio station, all that kind of good stuff. Sure would appreciate your vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to have bribe you or whatever, we'll figure out how to bribe you. Appreciate your vote. And I want to point out that thank you so much for the votes over the years for Best Morning Show and you know, talk shows and all that. But I want to point out the huge number of shows we have on the show. We do 40 hours a week of live local programming. Dalton and I don't do all of that. Dalton and I and Kelly don't do all of that. We have a ton of other folks doing shows here. We are live every day of the week. That is unheard of in radio in 2019, and there's great people making it happen. Of course, you got a lot of behind-the-scenes people like Philip making great work, and Charlie, and of course the guests that come in, whether it be on Saturday, be on Sunday. Shows, I mean, you think about it, I go down through the list, but think about our weeknight shows that come on at 7, 8 o'clock in the evenings. Shows like Prep Sports Report on a Saturday, maybe Bill Finch, or Sip and Chew. Like, Sip and Chew needs any more attention.
They're
right now, Sip and Chew, are the Food and Wine show that comes on at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings. They are up for a National Food and Wine Radio Show Award, traveling out to Los Angeles on that one. But we sure would like to get them some hometown love as well. So, I mean, go through the list. I mean, our weekend shows, our weeknight shows, there are so many live local programs. People you know, people you may be kinfolk with, vote for them in the Nappies. Make sure to nominate them first in those Nappy categories.
Yeah, and on a week like this week on the PGA Tour with the Players' Championship, we've got a great golf show on Sundays.
So you think
Southern Fairways?
You know, if I worry that if our buddy Randy and even Danny, those guys are already pretty sure of themselves, pretty cocksure of themselves. If they get the Nappies, they may not be even tolerable to be around. But their show sure does deserve it. So check it out.
Such divas.
All right, yes, divas for sure. So VoteNappies.com. Please go and do that nominating right now. All right, it is time to continue on with our 6.5 stories. So where are we now?
All right, we're on story number four here, and I thought we'd switch it up, do a couple animal stories on this Friday.
All right.
And, you know, a fox in the hen house, we hear that one a lot.
Is the hen house Fairhope? Is that where?
No, this one's not in, no Baldwin County foxes involved in this one.
Really?
No, yeah, this one's actually in France.
Okay.
And this story
ended. You know what they call a fox in France?
A poulet.
La fox.
La fox.
La fox, yeah.
Oh, wait, chicken is French.
Poulet.
Poulet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had looked that up before we started because I was like, I'm going to look fancy here. I'm going to know what French for chicken
is. You know
what
they call it in France? Le chicken?
Le chicken. Well, in northwestern France, don't want you confused there.
Right.
Chickens in a school farm, they say here, 3,000 hens were in this one coop. A fox who immediately regretted
3,000.
Yeah, 3,000 hens. This was a free-range chicken farm in France.
And the fox rolls up on that. That's like me going over to like China Super Buffet. Man, okay.
Yeah, he's like, oh, licking his lips. He's like, I've got him dead to rights. This is my spot right here. Well, they're all sleeping at night in their coop because they're allowed out during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows the most dangerous chicken is a free-range chicken.
That's right.
Fox did not know this. Got into this coop with 3,000 hens. There was an automatic hatch door. So he makes it inside, but the door closes behind him.
Oh, like a hog trap or something. Okay.
Like that, or like entering the ring for a gladiator contest it closes behind him.
Oh, no.
Because there was no getting out for this fox.
Oh, no.
And the hens immediately put up their, in their fight or flight instinct, they went with fight for this one. And pecked and ended up killing this fox.
The hens, so 3,000 to 1, that ratio, you bet on the hens.
That's exactly right. So Pascal Daniel, which perfect name for French farmer. He's a head of farming at the agricultural school there in northwestern France. He said there was a herd instinct and they attacked him with
their flock instinct.
Good point. He said it had blows to its neck, blows from beaks. Now this farm, home up to 6,000 free-range chickens, kept over 5 acres, keep the coop open during the day so they can walk around, spend their time outside, and then at night that automatic door closes. Well, the fox got into the mall before the mall closed, and they closed their doors behind him, and then the hens pecked him to death. He said a whole mass of hens can arrive together, and the fox may have panicked in the face of such a big number. They can be quite tenacious when they are in a pack or a flock, like you said.
Le chicken
kill La Fox. And craft beer, you know, recently blown up over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Now beertrepreneurs, I don't know if I coined that,
beer
or if it's already out there.
I like it.
They're looking to tap into a new market.
See, it's just so punny today.
And keeping with the animal theme here, you can now kick back and have a beer with your dog. Thanks to this couple from
Houston. Yeah,
because
that's what my dogs need. That's
dogs are always looking for beer.
Oh, that's what they need.
This couple out of Houston created a new line of beer for dogs. It's called Good Boy Dog Beer. Good Boy Dog Beer. They started producing these beers in August. Had three to start with. The names, IPA Lot in the Yard. IPA Lot in the Yard. Mailman Malt Liquor. And Session Squirrel. They've got a fourth beer coming out next month called the Crotch Sniffin' Ale. So they said the dog beers are either pork, chicken, or veggie based and non-alcoholic.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, very, very, very sad that they're not actually filled with alcohol. They've already shipped some of this beer to clients in Austin. But if your dog needs to wind down after a long day, get him some of that crotch sniffing ale or the IPA Lot in the
Yard. So you pour yourself a delicious IPA and you pour the dog the doggy IPA a lot in the yard.
That's exactly it. While we're on the topic of beer, here's my favorite criminal of the week. This one comes from, let's see, no place here. It could be any Target in America. I don't have the city where this one's from.
So no Dateline. Dateline no, everywhere but nowhere.
No Dateline.
Okay.
Where's San Joaquin? That sounds like a
city. Yeah, it's California.
California.
There's
city,
San Joaquin Valley, and there's also the city of San or town of San Joaquin.
Well, this ends with a woman arrested and booked into the San Joaquin County Jail. So I'm guessing that's where this occurred. And it started in a Target where police say a suspect drank an entire six-pack of beer inside of a Target dressing room. Who among us?
So, wait, that's pretty crafty. I didn't think about that. You take the take the beer to the dressing room where, like, you know, the people take stuff and try to shoplift it, right?
Yeah.
And, they, you know, the cameras see them. So, in this case, they hid the evidence inside their belly.
That's exactly right. Okay. This happened Saturday afternoon. Officers say a woman took her cart and a six-pack of Stella Artois.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she wasn't going with the natural light.
That's right.
She was going to steal it.
Might as well go high dollar.
Took it into the dressing room. Stayed there for over an hour. So she, I don't know, six beers over an hour, that's a decent
That's what
decent
normal
pace.
People do, yeah. I got some boys that could have got that done in 3.5 minutes, but
yeah. they'd be out of there. After she finished the beer, police say the woman left the store with about $200 in merchandise without paying. So it just worked.
Oh, so on top of that, so she got drunk, and then she went and shoplifted some stuff.
She was working up
some
the
more
nerve.
Stuff.
Working up the nerve with the six-pack. She is identified as Alicia Johnson and arrested and booked in jail. On shoplifting charges.
So, you know, there's a subtle difference between, okay, it's not that subtle, between going and drinking a six-pack of beer you stole and then getting out with it. And the thing that I have seen, I haven't seen as much lately, but when I was a kid, I remember being in the grocery store, not just the samples that were offered, but people would, like, sample produce, like, take one of it
One for me?
Like, they'd take an apple or something, which, like, used to freak me out because my mother had told me it had all these chemicals on it. You had to wash, you know, all the fruit before you eat.
I still do that.
Yeah, I do it as well. I mean, the training stuck way back when. But when I was a punk kid, somebody had to tell me. And I'd see people, like, pick up an apple and start eating it as they had put some in a bag. And so they were eating some of the food that they were they were buying some. They weren't trying to shoplift, but they were, like, and I was like, That's stealing. My mom said, don't bother people. Just don't bother them.
What about a couple weeks ago, I saw a woman, bag of chips, not yet purchased, open in the baby seat in the cart.
But if you bring the bag of chips up to the checkout thing and then pay for it.
I just don't. I think you have to pay for it before you break into the bag of chips.
I'll argue with you. I think you can. I think you can, if you cannot, if those Cajun crawl taters are so tempting, you can't stand. No, you can. If you're going to buy it. Now, is it probably the best thing for the cleanliness in the grocery store, having you walk around munching chips, having them roll down your chin? Probably not. But if you're going to buy them, you can do that. But in the case of the, like, six-pack lady, or what I used to see as a kid, they were eating the apples and, like, ditching the apple. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't going up and bringing the core and paying for it.
Well, you could do the same with a bag of chips. Just put the bag away when you're done eating it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. But if they do, if somebody does eat the chips, like, you can't. They're not shoplifting those chips until they try to hide the bag or something like that. If they take the bag up and pay for the empty bag of garden salsa sun chips, then I think no harm, no foul.
I got a bag of that in my
pantry
right now, garden salsa. Yeah, I love it. All right, okay. So 6.5.
I'm sorry, but
I'm just going to have to disagree with you on the bag of chips thing.
Being wrong, that's not
hot,
the first
hot take Friday here. Yeah. A lot of substances one could ingest to technically be under the influence when you're driving a vehicle.
Okay.
You know, you got alcohol, you got drugs.
Dog beer.
But this one here, this is a new one for me, okay? So a woman in Oregon was ran over in a grocery store parking lot. This happened back in September of 2017, and she ended up dying from those injuries. But now her estate is suing the driver, claiming that he was under the influence of what? So for 6.5 stories, I give Sean half the story, and you guys fill in the rest, or Sean fills in the rest. So
we can all do it as a group. It's a group thing.
This woman's estate is suing the driver, saying that he was under the influence of blank.
Okay, you wouldn't have asked me the question like this if it was anything normal, like alcohol or something like that.
Yeah, so you got to think outside the box here.
Okay. He was under the influence of something. He was in a what parking lot? What was a grocery store?
This was a grocery store parking lot in Oregon.
Well, that's not eggnog.
Ooh, no, that's a good eggnog. Guess. It is not eggnog.
No, I was thinking because of the Rudolph the Red Nose. So, what was he drinking?
Okay, so he wasn't drinking anything. Actually, probably only drinking water, because this woman's estate claims that the man who killed her was under the influence of the Whole30 diet.
He would test positive for paleo or something like that. Is Whole30, is that like the paleo? What is that?
Whole30 is where you break no dairy. You pretty much go down. It is close to paleo. You go down to meats and you know, nuts, almonds, cashews, vegetables.
Yeah.
No dairy, no sugar, no soft drinks or alcohol. That's basically what the Whole30. It's a reset for the system.
Okay,
is what these people. And you go a whole 30 days
doing
that.
So she says the diet.
Yeah. So her estate says that the driver was nauseous and lightheaded because of his diet and should be held responsible for her death. For being, I guess, under the influence of this diet, being nauseous and lightheaded. They filed the suit Thursday.
They're probably going after the people who made up the diet. They're probably using him as a vessel to get to where the money. Yeah, get to where the money is.
Well, her estate seeking $3.6 million in damages. The driver's name, Robert Morgan. He was driving the truck in the parking lot in September of that year when he apparently lost control. His truck struck two vehicles, then came to a stop when it hit a third. She had been putting groceries into her car, was in the truck's path, and ran over, and then later died. She said that the man shouldn't have been driving behind the wheel at the time of the crash. He was on the Whole30 diet, and with its restrictions, according to them, he'd skipped breakfast and lunch, and that is the reason that he passed out.
Wow. When I initially react to it as being having no chance in court, but I don't know that it doesn't have a chance in court. That's interesting. It doesn't mean they're gonna win, but
fasting now. If this goes through, then they can sue you for fasting before you get behind the wheel.
Well, okay, but if you knew, like, let's say you were, I mean, if that's going to be said, say you knew you were extremely sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're really, really sick with the flu. You're, like, seeing double, and you go and drive. You know you're impaired.
Yeah.
So why is it different there?
Well, is there any set precedent for that?
I don't know, but I'm just wondering. I mean, if somehow go to my fantasy world here for a second, and you know, person's got the flu, big fever, they're just whacked out of their mind, sick, and then they go drive. They know they're impaired, and so should it be any different? I don't know how you do a breath test for that or something. They'd probably get sick on you. But
yeah.
I don't know. This opens a whole
host of legal questions.
So you took it in a nice place, though, because I'm going to do this because we're about to wrap up the show for the week, and I won't have to answer hate mail for a while. Google keto crotch.
Keto crotch.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's it. I can only do that because we're about to bring the week to a shocking end, but keto crotch. Oh,
I've done keto in the past. No familiarity
with keto
crotch.
It's not for you.
Oh, not for... Okay.
It's not for you.
That's good to know.
We'll point that out. It's not for you. It's for the foxes. 6.5 stories with Dalton Orrig, Air Buddy. Give him a big round of applause. All right. Coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along and good to have a friend of mine, a guy I've known for a long, long time, and he still comes and talks to me, Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Attorneys. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the air with me.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. Yeah, we go way back. Kind of good to see us both a little bit grown up. I don't know if we act that way or what.
Well, I think you live up in a grown-up world, and as a Marine, you had a lot of growing up there that I didn't have, so hats off to you, and thank you for your service.
Well, you knew me and my pre-Marine self and post-Marine right. self, so there are no skeletons that are hiding in the closet from you, so I appreciate you having me here.
And I want to talk to you about that. I also want to talk about what you're doing with Taylor Martino and talking to folks here, my listeners at FM Talk 106.5, that have an issue, have a need for legal representation. But I got to say this. We're talking before we went on here. And, you know, people have a feeling that, oh, gosh, there's so many lawsuits out there. There's so many frivolous lawsuits out there. I don't want to be associated with that, Ed.
I hear you. I understand that. I mean, with today's society, with all the advertising that you're just pounded with, if I ever do watch midday news or early morning news, it's just incredible the amount of attorney advertising out there. And, you know, I am a plaintiff's lawyer. That's what I do. I represent people that are hurt. You know, I grew up here in Mobile. And, I'm a conservative person, but, you know, so I completely understand how those views are taken by many people, because I feel the same way, really.
Okay, and so you and I were talking about this. If you go, gosh, I don't want to be lumped in with that. Well, neither do y'all at Taylor Martino. Y'all aren't lumped in with that either.
We're a different type of firm. I mean, we don't handle a huge volume of cases. We don't try to handle a huge volume of cases. We do represent, you know, businesses as well as individuals, you know, with any type of need that they have. We don't go seeking to file a lawsuit. We just seek to fix problems. And so we are a little bit different than most.
You know, and seeking to fix problems, if we think about this, all of us have our own issues, but there's some commonalities out there I'm sure you hear a lot about. And you and I were talking, you made an analogy one time that really struck me, and we were talking about insurance. And talking about insurance and getting what you pay for. And you said, hey, Sullivan, you don't ever blink when you go in and make a file against your health insurance. You've paid for it, so you're going to use it. And I said, yeah. And you said, then why do you have a feeling like that about your automotive insurance?
Exactly. So I meet with people all the time, and I really like meeting with people that are hesitant to even bring a claim. They come in, they say, hey, I really don't feel right about this. I'm not sure if I should do this or not. And so I tell them, well, hey, do you have health insurance? Yeah. Do you pay for that health insurance? Oh, yeah, I pay out the nose for that health insurance.
Guaranteed. I'm like,
do you ever walk into your doctor's office or the hospital and you need treatment? You say, hey, I'm just going to save you know, XYZ health insurance company. Let me pay this out of my pocket. No, you don't ever do that. And
right.
It's the same. So if it's your own insurance in an auto case, like let's say you're hit by an uninsured motorist, and so you've got to make a claim on your own insurance coverage. Well, you've paid for that. And most people that I represent have paid for it for years and years and years. They've never made a claim. And that's what they've been paying for years. So what's wrong? What's un-American about if you pay for something, then get it?
Because people make the claim. They say, okay, well, I was hit by the uninsured motorist or something like this happened. I made the claim, and now Ed, they didn't call me back, or they called me back. They keep switching people on me. They said, well, it's not the amount that I thought it was going to be, and they said it was total replacement, but it's not. Those kind of things those wear people out when they're busy doing whatever they do for a living.
Right. I don't have a problem with the insurance industry. I mean, I've got health insurance. I've got life insurance. I mean, I've got insurance coming out of my ears as well. So I'm not anti-insurance whatsoever, but it is a business. And the only way an insurance company really makes money is if they don't pay as much as they make in, they take in. So they're an American company as well. So they're motivated solely to not pay claims, and
right.
that's how they make money. So,
but I have been paying in premiums for decades.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They took those.
Yes, yes. You would think that you could say, okay, hey, if you're not going to pay my claim, why don't you refund the premiums for the past 20 years?
Right.
That doesn't ever happen.
Right. You can't say, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll make a swap here. Just give me my money back and I'll pay for it. So, I mean, people find themselves in that situation, and that's the time that if you're not getting what you have paid for, you shouldn't feel bad about getting it.
Right. I mean, I think it is. It's very American to be able to come to see me, a lawyer, and say, hey, I'm not getting treated fairly. What can you do about it? And I say, well, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's figure this out. And so that's all we do is we try to figure out the problem. We deal with the insurance companies and whoever the at-fault party is and take that burden off your shoulders. Because, when you're hurt, when you're losing wages, when you're not able to do the things that you can do, you're stressed out. Okay. And you're stressed out in this country, in this life, no matter what you're doing. I mean, just walking around,
right,
it's stressful.
Right.
Like I walked in your office today. Like, how you doing? I said, I got stuff coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just got too much to do. So that you add that on top of it, the stress of being hurt, of walking with a limp, or your house might get taken because you can't afford to pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
That's just, and then you add the stress of, well, this insurance adjuster is jerking me around, or I'm getting the runaround, that sort of thing. It's just incredible. So, what we can do is just take at least one of those stresses away, and then also make sure you're treated fairly, because that's all we want. Just treat people fairly.
Yeah, you're a voice for us. And obviously, like you said, you know this, and you do this because I know that I don't know this. I know my business, but I don't know, I don't know how you deal with a problem like this. So, and by the way, you're just joining us, talking to my friend Ed Rowan with Taylor Martino online. What is it, taylormartino.com or?
TaylorMartino.com. That's right. We've got a website.
Okay. Go there or pick up the phone. I mean, like, if we're going to make, let's say we're talking to somebody right now and says, it's like Ed knows exactly what's happening with me. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can Google Ed Rowan Attorney. You can Google Richard Taylor, Steve Martino. Those are my two partners. We've got seven lawyers there. Or you can just Google TaylorMartino.com and you'll find us. I mean, we've got a good presence on the web there. So that's usually what people do now, is just Google it.
Yeah. Google it and set up an appointment. It's one of these things. You just said we can just kind of come in and tell you the story.
Absolutely. There's no strings attached ever. Okay. And we don't charge for consultations and things like that. You call us or you just show up, you come on in and you have an issue. But a lot of times, I just got back from Atlanta. I was there on business for 3 days. I got to go to Birmingham for 2 days next week. So it does help sometimes to make sure someone's there just to give us a quick call.
Sure.
And, first of all, we're just glad to talk to you and see how we can help you initially. And we can just give you information. Hey, if people call me and say, hey, I just want some information, I'll say, okay, do X, Y, and Z. And if you want to handle it on your own, that's fine. Then they may call me back and say, well, I did X, Y, and Z, and I'm still getting jerked around, and you're a really nice guy, so I'd like to come see you. And I say, all right, well, come on and see me.
So you're going to give us, I like that. So you're going to say, try this first.
Absolutely.
Try this first. Let's see if we can do it this other way.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give them my format of how to settle a claim or how to handle a claim. And one of the things is I just don't want to get people taking advantage of it. I've got plenty of work to do. Certainly, I want new business, but I don't want somebody getting taken advantage of. And so you know, if they need to do X, Y, and Z, a couple different steps to make sure their claim is protected. If they can handle it on their own, hey, that's great. Go ahead and do it. And if not, then I'm there to help.
All right. Get in touch with Ed over at TaylorMartino.com. You give him a call. Heck, you can even, you know, shoot me an email. I'll get you the phone number as well. Ed, thanks for being in with us today.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Ed Rowan with Taylor Martino, and we're coming right back.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.